Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our reading today comes from Daniel chapter 3. This is the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. The setting is Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq. And it's interesting. You wouldn't think ancient Babylon has much to do with us today, but according to something I heard just this week, it does. Look at your watch. How many seconds in a minute? 60. How many minutes in an hour? 60. That's Babylon. That comes from ancient Babylon. Apparently, they were very good in math, and they liked to count in 60s. I had never heard of that before, but that's probably the one thing you'll remember today. The other thing is that the book of Daniel, I think, is underground literature. It's meant to encourage people. It's meant to give people faith and strength who are under the rule of a very cruel foreign dictator. So this is underground stuff that's sort of passed around secretly to give people courage. This is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And I'm editing for time's sake. Okay. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have refused at this point to bow down before the great 90-foot golden idol that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has made. Their reply to the king was this: "Your Majesty, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If there is a God who is able to save us from the blazing furnace, it is the God whom we serve. He will deliver us from your Majesty's power. But if not, be it known to our Majesty that we shall neither serve your gods nor worship the golden image that you have set up." And Nebuchadnezzar was furious with them, and his face became distorted with anger. He ordered the furnace should be heated to 7 times its normal heat and commanded some of the strongest men in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. Then they answered, "Yes, certainly, Your Majesty." And after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into the furnace now, the king looks into the fire. And he's just astonished. Yet he insisted, "I see 4 men walking about in the fire, free and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god." And at this point, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego are brought from the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar declared, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He has sent his angel to save his servants who, trusting in him, disobeyed the royal command. They were willing to submit themselves to the fire rather than serve or worship any god other than their own." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. The Babylonian tyrant, Nebuchadnezzar, had a 90-foot golden idol erected. And when the band played, he decreed that all the people in his dominions were to bow down and to worship this golden idol that he had made. Now, in his kingdom, there were three young Jewish men. They're teenagers. And they were serving in the king's civil service. And they were good. They were good. But they would not bow down to this idol that the king had made. And the king said to them, you know, you think your God's going to save you? And they answered with these words, our God can save us. But even if he doesn't, even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down and worship the golden idol that you have made. Now, this late summer, we've been looking at the Old Testament Hall of Fame, and we've seen Samson with his flowing hair. We've seen Jacob and his ladder with the angels climbing up and down it. And today we turn to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Now, you might ask, what does this have to do with us? Because unlike the Jewish people at the time that this was used, we're not under persecution, at least overtly. But I think this account tells us something about life. It tells us something about God. And there are also the qualities of these three young men, which can help us, I think, as we try to live our own lives in our own time and place. Now, what can we learn from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? One quality stands out for me, first of all, and that is their courage. And I have a favorite story about courage. I think I've used it here before, but it's a favorite. And it concerns a woman and her very young daughter who are out for a walk in the woods one day. And the daughter's been reading a children's story that makes mention of courage. And she asks her mom, you know, what's courage? And she says, is it like when Minnie puts back her ears and spits at a dog, you know, seven times her size? And the mother says, well, partially that's it, but there's more to it than that. And they come walking along even further along the path, and they come to an area in the forest that has been burned. It's all charred and black. And in the midst of that burnt area, that black area, there's a tiny yellow buttercup that has come up. And the mother points to it and says, there, that's courage. That golden buttercup, that yellow buttercup coming up. And I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in their own way, are that yellow buttercup coming up out of an earth that's been scorched black. Just think about what they've been through. I'm giving you some backstory to the account. Babylon was a mighty empire, and about 600 years before Jesus, they came in and just wiped out the little country of Judah. Judah was no match for them. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, young, promising people, are taken by the Babylonians off to Babylon, off to Iraq. And these are just young people. And they're taken from everything they knew, friends and family. And they're taken to a new land with different customs, a different language, different food. Everything is completely different. Even their names are changed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not Jewish names. They're Babylonian names. Some social engineering going on here. But even in this scorched earth, they have the courage to persevere, to endure. And they rise to become first in their class in the king's social service, civil service. And we see that kind of grit, that kind of courage again when this golden idol appears. And the young people absolutely refuse to bow down. That takes guts, because there's a cost to that. You can lose everything. These are young people, but they're an example to us of courage. There's something else that strikes me as I read this account and look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the kind of people they were. They're people of integrity. They were forced into the service of the king of Babylon, and they do very well there. They work with integrity. They're honest, hardworking people in the service of the king. Integrity. You know, Boeing has gone through a tough time with two plane crashes. And they've been severely criticized for the way they've handled things. And they haven't got those planes in the air even today. And the contrast came to me with Bill Lear. You know, the Lear jets they use in business, and a lot of companies use them today. Back when the Lear company was at its foundations stage, Bill Lear had sold 55 planes to companies, to individuals. And one plane crashed. And then a little bit later, a second plane crashed. And he was having supper with his family at that time when the word came through about the second plane. And he just put his head down on the table and cried. Something was wrong. The government officials said, oh, it's pilot error, but something was wrong. The conditions were too similar. Both crashes had happened on humid days. Both crashes had happened when the planes climbed rapidly to 24,000 feet. Bill Lear just didn't sleep that night. He had a very restless night. And the next morning, he came before his staff and he said to them, you know, something's wrong. We've got to ground those planes. We've got to tell our customers, don't fly those planes. But his staff objected. They said, look, even the government inspectors say it was possibly, you know, pilot error. We don't know of any flaw. There's nothing we know of. And if you ground those planes, we'll lose market share. People will lose confidence in our company. It'll be really bad for us. But Bill Lear said, you know, just think, what would happen if another plane went down? Could we live with that? Something is wrong. And he himself did a lot of testing. And what they found was that on a very humid day, there was moisture that collected. And what happened as the plane went up very fast to 24,000 feet, that moisture froze and it affected the operation of the ailerons. And that's why the planes crashed. that what was missing was a drain hole of all things, something that they'd never thought of. What was missing was a drain hole for that water to get out. And it's interesting, when Bill Lear was being interviewed about the decision-making process that he went through, you know, to ground those planes until they could discover what the problem was, what do you think he said? He said, "I remembered the stories we heard as children in church, especially the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where we were told to stand up for what is right and not just go along with the crowd. We were taught to stand for our values regardless of the cost. Integrity. Integrity." There's something else about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that is, you know, they're young people, yet they have a very solid faith. The Babylonians have done everything they can to wipe out everything in their background, but they have a very solid faith. And the king says to them, you know, "Do you think your God's going to save you?" And they say to him, "Our God can save us, but even if not, we're not going to bow down to that golden idol." And those words, "even with not, even if not," have been called the hammer that breaks the rock of tyranny. They're going to stand firm regardless of what happens to them. You know, in our own lives, there are tough times that come. There are fiery furnaces that come from time to time in all our lives. We can be good, hardworking, honest people, and it's just life. There are bad times that come. We give thanks for the good times, but there are bad times that come too. And you look at Jesus, look at Job, look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace. We all hit the hard times with family, with work, with personal relationships, whatever. The fiery furnace is there. We're not promised, if we're faithful people, that everything is going to be smooth. We give thanks when they are. But we're not promised that everything's going to be smooth. We are promised that we won't be alone. There's a strength not our own to get us through that fiery furnace. And remember the account now? When the king looks into the fire of that furnace, there are not just three people, there are four. You know, the 23rd Psalm puts it in another way. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." We're not alone in the fiery furnace. Now, I'm not an expert on country music, but Johnny Cash has a very distinct voice. And actually, the only thing I remember about Johnny Cash is "A Boy Named Sue." But he has a song called "The Fourth Man." The Fourth Man. Where do you think he got that? The song just retells the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I'm just reading toward the end here. These are his retellings. "Now when the three were cast, and the king rose up to witness the awful fate, he began to tremble at what he saw. Just imagine that voice singing this. In astonished tones he spake, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Well, lo, I see four men unhurt. There's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the fiery coals they trod. But the form of a fourth man I see, and that is like the Son of God." Wow. Wow. What he's talking about there is not just recounting the story. He's saying he is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, struggling with a fiery furnace of drug abuse, substance abuse. And his discovery that in those flames, there was a strength not his own. He was not alone. There was that fourth man. We're not alone. You know, the fiery furnace in the account is not the last word. The king ends up saying, you know, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego," and those three young men are taken from the fire, and they're actually promoted. They're given even higher positions in the king's service. And you know, we have a God who can take what looks like an end for us and turn it into a new beginning. True? Think of our own lives. Sometimes what was or looked like an end was really just the start of something new. Amen.